Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is day 826. As we walk through the Word of God together, we come to Job 29 today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this book of Job, for the ways in which you've spoken to us and challenged us, corrected us, humbled us, and we have so much more to uncover in this wonderful book. We pray that you would continue to speak to us today through Job 29. By your Spirit, let us walk more closely with Christ as we spend time in your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're here in Job, and you see the title in the ESV is Job's Summary Defense. We're starting a section now which covers three chapters, 29, 30, and 31, that is Job's kind of final speaking in his own behalf. In Job 29, he reflects on how much better the past was when God's favor was on him and how he longs for the days like that. In 30, we'll look at tomorrow, he looks at the present day and how bad things are for him. And in 31, which we'll look at in a couple of days, he is looking ahead to the possibility of being vindicated before God. And then, starting in 32, Elihu is going to speak. We haven't heard from Elihu yet. He's not one of Job's three friends. He's another speaker who comes in, and he's going to speak 32 for several chapters. He has probably the longest speech of any of the human beings in terms of one setting. And he's going to speak for several chapters, and then God's going to show up and speak at the end of the book. But today, Job is speaking, and he is defending himself against his friends by speaking about the past primarily. And Job again took up his discourse and said, "Oh, that I were as in months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. As I was in my prime, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were all around me, when my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil. When I went out to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me and withdrew, and the aged rose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, it called me blessed. When the eye saw, it approved, because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. The blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I searched out the cause of him whom I did not know. I broke the fangs of the unrighteous and made him drop his prey from his teeth. Then I thought, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My roots spread out to the waters with the dew all night on my branches, my glory fresh within me, and my bow ever new in my hand. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After I spoke, they did not speak again, and my word dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths as for the spring rain. I smiled on them when they had no confidence, and the light of my face they did not cast down. I chose their way and sat as chief, and I lived like a king among his troops, like one who comforts mourners." Now, Job here in Job 29 is reflecting on the good old days. Now, all of us are a little bit given to nostalgia. As I recently celebrated my 50th birthday not that long ago, it's a time for reflecting back on the past, and sometimes I've been known to take trips down nostalgia memory lane, looking at things from bygone decades, especially things from the 1980s and the early 1990s, and I think, wow, weren't things better back then? and I look back to when I was younger, and it's so easy to do that. I try not to do it too often because it's actually very deceptive. It causes us to be ungrateful for the blessings that we have currently. It causes us to look at the past through a distorted lens where we only remember the good things, and that kind of makes us resent our current state of affairs. And so I try not to do it too often, and I try to correct myself and get a good perspective on things because I'm actually incredibly blessed and very thankful to be where God has me now. So there's much, much, much to be thankful for. But Job lost it all very, very suddenly. And he really does have good cause to look back on the past and to think that things were much, much better, because they were for him in every outward way. Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me. It's been some time since the disaster struck. We don't know how long. There's no time references. We know that when Job's friends heard the news, they traveled to where he was. They sat with him 7 days in the dust. They've been talking, but you get the idea that these conversations probably took place over the course of many days. They've probably stayed with Job for some period of time, maybe weeks. It's probably been months since all of this happened. And so he's longing for the months of old, not the months he's living in now. In the days of old, not the days he's living in now. And much of what he says here is directed at his friends, in that they have said, some of them have said repeatedly, how blessed the righteous are, and how if only Job were truly righteous, he would be truly blessed. Now, it is true, the righteous are blessed, are truly blessed, but Job's friends' understanding of things, they misunderstand what makes someone righteous, and they also misunderstand the nature of that blessing. They had said that if you were righteous in yourself, in your conduct, in your treatment of others, then you would be blessed in an earthly material way. What we know is that we are righteous by faith in Christ and by the Spirit applying Christ to our souls by grace, and that we are blessed eternally. But here Job takes their own presuppositions, the presuppositions of his friends, and he points out that he was indeed blessed in an earthly material sense in every possible way. Think about the ways in which he was blessed. He said he was in his prime. God's lamp shone on his head. He had the light of God with him when he walked in the darkness. He knew the truth of God. He had the righteousness of God. He had the goodness of God. The friendship of God was upon my tent. That means God's favor, God's hand was upon him. We know from the beginning, Satan says to God, you've put a hedge of protection around him. That's why he loves you, and that's why he serves you and honors you. The Almighty was with Job, and his children were all around him. I love this imagery here. My steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil. These substances, butter and oil, were costly, and they made everything smoother, easier, and tastier. So you cooked with the oil, and you buttered your bread with, you know, the butter, and it made everything taste better. It made everything go down easier. It makes life easier and better. And Job had a buttery, oily life. It was smooth. It was tasty. It was easy. Why? Why? Well, he says why. He says, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me, they withdrew, the old men rose and stood, the princes refrained from talking, they laid their hand on their mouth, the voices of their nobles was hushed, their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouth. Why? Verse 12, because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. Job knew that righteous conduct is to acknowledge that we have been blessed by God. Everything we have comes from God, and we need to be imitating God in blessing those who are less than we are. We are less than God. We are less powerful than he is. We are less privileged than he is. We are less wise than he is. We are less righteous than he is. And yet he blesses us abundantly and freely, and we need to be imitators of God, and we need to bless those who are less than we are freely and abundantly. So he delivered the poor. He helped the fatherless. Those who were about to perish looked to Job, and they blessed him, and the widow's heart sang for joy. And so Job was being like God. Even this idea of I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was a robe and a turban. So what are the things that characterize his public conduct and the way he went out into the world? Righteousness and justice. Righteousness, and then on top of that, justice and justice. That's God. That's the way God interacts in the world. That's the way God rules. The foundation of his throne is righteousness and justice. So here he is imaging God. This is the whole purpose of humanity. We're created in the image of God. We are to reflect God's character to the world and to those around us. And Job was doing that. In righteousness and in justice, he was conducting his affairs. He was eyes to the blind. He was feet to the lame. He was father to the needy. He searched out the cause of him whom he did not know. That is just like God, to give sight to the blind and feet to the lame and to be the father of the fatherless. He's godlike. He's not God, but he's one who is imitating and imaging and reflecting God. And that's why he was so blessed. It's also why he doesn't understand why that blessing was apparently taken away from him. The truth is that the blessing of God wasn't taken away from him. God still looked upon Job with favor. Job was being tested. He was being tried. He was being put through the furnace of affliction. And God was going to bring him out on the other side. But there are two errors that Christians can make regarding wealthy and influential people. One is to idolize them because they are wealthy and influential, and to think that somehow that means they are for certain, you know, godly, honorable, righteous, wonderful, to be listened to be imitated. And there are times when Christians tend to do that. We know better than to do that, but there are times when we can tend to do that. We can tend to give too much honor and too much respect to people who are very wealthy and who are leaders of society and think they are worthy of imitation and they are worthy of hearing and listening and following after because they're so wealthy and so powerful. That's one error we can make. The other error, though, is to condemn all the righteous and all the influential and to automatically think that they're evil, that they're wicked, that they only got their gain through oppression. And that's not true. There are many people who have much in this world because God has chosen to bless them, and they are faithfully using the much they've been given in order to bless others. We, in America, watching this together, we need to ask ourselves the next question, because we are fairly wealthy and well off by the world standards and by history standards. And so what are we doing with the blessings that God has given to us? Are we taking care of those who are in need? Are we helping those who would otherwise not have a voice? Are we walking in righteousness and justice in all of our ways, as Job was careful to do? Are we opposing the unrighteous? Are we using whatever strength God's given us, whatever influence God's given us, to oppose the wicked, like Job was doing? Job spoke the words of God, and so people listened. They waited to hear what Job would say, because Job was one who comforted those who were mourning. Job was one who helped those who were in need. Do we speak the words of God? Do we speak words of truth and wisdom and comfort and counsel to those who need them? Again, this is not a guarantee that if you do this, your life's going to be smooth sailing, because God decided to allow Satan to test Job, and Job went through that furnace of affliction. But Job here is recalling to his friends that when God had greatly blessed him, because he was faithful to use those blessings for the purposes of God, he was walking in righteousness and justice. And that's a challenge to us. Ultimately, Jesus is the model for this. Jesus is the only one who perfectly used every bit of power, anointing, influence that God gave him for the glory of God, for the good of others, for the kingdom of God in the world. But we are called to imitate Christ. And in this passage, we can be imitators of Job, who was imitating God in his character and conduct. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to live by faith in faithfulness today? That's the question we should be asking ourselves from today's passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your Holy Spirit to clarify, to grant us wisdom, to convict us, and to use us. Lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead us to be those who walk in righteousness and justice for the glory of your name, for the good of your people, for the honor of your church, for the furtherance of your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's Job 29. Tomorrow we're going to be in Job 30, as I said, and that means we're going to be looking at Job's present distress and how different it is from the way it was in the past, and how is Job responding to that. Join me tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord.